This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Other more important things happened over the weekend. We wrap it all up in this thing. It's called The Five.
Now, it's time for The Five.
It's countdown!
Answering the five biggest questions of the weekend on The Fan Morning Show.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead! Number five.
Bryson DeChambeau won the Arnold Palmer Invitational this weekend, shooting a 71 yesterday to finish 11 under par. Is he a big enough name, I guess, to draw more people to golf?
Maybe, but what I would do if I were him, I would turn up the hate meter even more. You have enough people who don't like you. I would just go total, like, bad guy. I would go total bad guy and just not care at all. That's the move I would pull. Just, yeah. But I don't know if he's enough. He is enough of a sideshow that the way some courses set up, that there are some weeks that I'll watch him try to just carry water on a par five all the time. I'll flip on for that. But I need like an alert on my phone when he's about to hit a huge drive. I don't want to watch all weekend to see him just try to come out of his shoes.
That's the thing. He's not enough if you're not a golf fan to begin with. If you're just an average everyday sports fan who maybe tunes into the majors or whenever they hear something big is happening. He's not a big enough draw to bring in the average sports fan, I don't think, because I don't think unless you're a golf fan, you're not necessarily you don't notice it as being all that crazy what he's doing. You just see, oh, guy hits ball, it goes far, and so you've got to be a golf fan, I think, to really be drawn in just based on the facts of what DeChambeau is doing. I don't dislike him. I mean, I don't especially like root for him, but I don't dislike him either. Like, I'm not going to be all up in arms because of the way he smashes the ball. I think it's amazing what he does from the rough. I think if all he did was just run up there and Happy Gilmore it off the tee and then the rest of his game sucked, it would be more of a sideshow than it is, because he really does have the ability, you saw in some of that rough this weekend, to get somehow slice the ball out of there, which nobody else can do. He gets clean contact when nobody else can, and he can sink big putts as he did on the back nine yesterday. So I think he's more of a complete golfer than people give him credit for. He doesn't have the magnetism, I guess, to draw in the average everyday sports fan.
Number four.
Buccos in spring training. They cleaned up a little bit. 3-2 win over Jameson Taillon and the Yankees. 13-1 win over the Orioles. Gregory Polanco homered on Saturday, his second in 11 at-bats this spring. Do you have any expectations for him this season?
I'd like
him. Don't bust up his own shoulder.
I'd like him. You know what my expectation is, honestly, for Gregory Polanco? To be good enough to be the everyday right fielder for the duration of the season. That's it. That'd be a step forward.
Well, I'd like to see him, you know, much like we've talked about with Todd Frazier, although Todd Frazier hasn't been here for years waiting to pay off on the promise of his prospect status, I'd like to see him have a really good first half. And maybe you find a contending team that's looking for a corner outfielder, a right fielder, or maybe even a DH in the American League towards the deadline as the playoff race heats up, because I'd much rather that happen and you get something for Gregory Polanco now rather than picking up the option and maybe playing another year and another 245, 22 home run kind of season. I'd like to see him blow up in the first half, so maybe this is a good sign, hopefully, that they can get something out of Polanco.
Number three.
All right, sticking with the Bucks, O'Neal Cruz has played some short this spring, the position he's officially listed at, but he also has played some outfield, some center field, no less. Some view him as a future first baseman. If his bat plays at the major league level, where does he fit?
He is Josh Bell who can field. So I would play him at first base or in right field. The days of him thinking he's a shortstop is just, he's going to outgrow the position. It doesn't make sense, and he's not going to be there. And the other part of it, too, then, if you take shortstop out of the vortex for him, then you can allow him to get in the weight room and also eat and bulk up and become even a deeper power guy.
And not worry anymore about growing more.
Right.
Which he's openly talked about. He doesn't want to be any bigger. Well, unfortunately, it's happening, O'Neal. So get ready to play right field. This feeds right off of what we just talked about with Polanco. Once Gregory Polanco is no longer a Pittsburgh Pirate, O'Neal Cruz is your right fielder. He has the arm to sling it from out there. And maybe someday when he gets much bigger and gets older, he's a first baseman. I could see that eventually in the future as well. But for right now, I think get him trained up on the outfield. Let him go out there and let him concentrate on the plate as well.
Number two.
After a 77-62 loss to Clemson on Saturday, Jeff Capel had this to say.
Yeah, there's a double standard with us. And I'm tired of it. And I'll get whatever happens will happen. But, you know, teams can talk to our bench. They can go crazy over a call, and nothing happens. But when we've done it a little bit, there's technical fouls. And it's been really for 2 years that it's been this way. And it's really frustrating because I don't know what to say to my team.
Is there truth to what Capel said here? And if there is, should he have said it?
There is some truth to what he says. Mm-hmm. It's not as deep as he'll make it. There is some truth. I think it's a more calculated shot to the guys in the program that he has their back, and that's important because of the defections.
No, I can't disagree with either one of those points. I think it is right what he said. I think that Pitt is treated differently in the ACC, and they're not used to that. Because they were at the heart of what the Big East was about. And since they've come over to the ACC, they've seen what it's like to not be an ACC blue blood. And I think this is Jeff Capel finding out what it's like to not be an ACC blue blood. Just because you're the guy from Duke doesn't mean anything to ACC officials when you're on the sideline with Pitt. And so, yeah, you are going to get officiated differently. Whether that's fair or not, I'm sorry, it's not fair, but that's the way it's gone, and that's the way it's going to continue to go. Should your star players like Justin Champagne be officiated differently? Not one single free throw for Champagne in that Clemson game? Yeah, they should be, but look, there's a lot that goes into this. I think ultimately it comes down to just what you said at the end there, Colin. This is a calculated shot across the bow of everyone who's criticized his program, and this is a calculated shot across the bow of the people that want to criticize his program building as well. He wants to prove to everybody that's left, like you said, that he's got their back and he's there for them. So I have no problem with it.
Number one.
Penguins, couple of wins this weekend. Saturday against the Flyers 4-3, and then last night a no-doubter against the Rangers. Are we seeing them play their best hockey right now as the schedule eases up in March?
I think we're seeing a couple things. One, Dumoulin's value to this hockey club, and that's why he got the contract when he did. And when Kasperi Kapanen plays well, what can happen, and sort of the trickle-down and domino effect. Those two things.
Yeah, you're seeing what happens when you start to get the effect of some scoring depth, which I don't know how long that'll last given McCann's injury and how long he may or may not be out after leaving in the middle of the second period last night. You see what happens when you've got it in waves, right? And that's what they've got now. The first and second line are both playing well. The third line can still contribute. You saw Aston Reese again last night. They've got the ability, when they've got the ability to come at you with more than one or two lines that are playing well and scoring, they've got the ability to play with the Flyers and the Capitals and the Islanders and beat the Flyers and the Capitals and the Islanders and maybe even challenge the Bruins if they can get a fourth line that actually contributes, which is something we'll see how that continues to develop. But when they've got depth, when they've got scoring depth, this is what they're capable of. And when it comes at a soft spot in the schedule, like the next 2.5 weeks, next 10 games or so, that's a good thing if they can continue to build on that momentum.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.